Why, hello there, everyone, and welcome to this very special presentation and interview we call the Winning Writers Interview Series. I'm so pleased that you've decided to be here for this particular interview. My name is Daniel Hall, and this interview series is sponsored by RealFastVIP.com, where we help authors and publishers to sell more books and build a larger platform. Today, I have one of our members, Marjorie McDonald, on deck. And Marjorie has a very fascinating book. Of course, she's an author. But Marjorie, welcome to the interview. Can you tell people the name of your book?
The name of this book is I have two of them. The first one is the T-Rex number 973, and the second one is
a step-by-step guide to this discovery in my backyard.
Yes,
that's the one, which I have up on this computer screen right now. When I saw this, I was just like floored about what this book is really about. And that's one of the things that we try to do with this interview series, Marjorie, is we try to introduce people to new and different books and new and different voices. Can you tell us what inspired you to write this book?
It's a very interesting part of my family history. My grandfather immigrated from Scotland and moved to the Montana Territory in 1887, and Montana became a state in 1889. He lived in Garfield County, which was in the northeastern part of the state, and it was a part that was referred to as the Missouri Breaks, where the Snow Creek and Hell Creek came together to go into the Missouri River, and the Hell Creek part of the land became really popular and very famous for all of the dinosaur bones that they were able to find in that area, and it attracted a lot of fossil hunters. Now, Grandfather could have said no, but he agreed to let Barnum Brown, which is the paleontologist's name, come on to the land and do the digging. And so they had to, at that time, because there were so many fossil hunters and they were always trying to outwit each other and get someplace and get something before somebody else, they really had to monitor the people coming in and out of the ranch. And so Barnum came in 1902, and they completed the dig in 1905. And the interesting part about it is that Barnum was really had quite a flair to him. And so when he was out on the dig site, he would wear a floor-length mink coat, which was really a smart thing for him to do because the wind coming across the Montana Plains was just extremely cold. And in that period of time, they dynamited a lot of things, and then they were able to pull out the different areas in to get them so that they were able to get the bones. And so they had to do a lot of, at the base of what is called the Big Monument is where they found the T-Rex. And it is not the largest of the T-Rexes, but it's the only one, as far as I know, it's the only one that has all of its bones. And so because of that, they had quite a time. Now, my other grandfather worked for the railroad, and so once they put the bones into plaster, they had to take them by horse and wagon to Miles City, which was about 100 miles away, and load them onto the train, and they went to the Museum of Natural History in New York City. I think it's called the American Museum of Natural History. And in that place, they set the bones up where the Rex was standing instead of in its normal position where it's kind of walking where you see on the picture on the top there, that's the correct position for the way that the bones are supposed to be displayed. So after a period of time, they had just gazillions of visitors that came in. And after a period of time, they put the bones in storage, and then Barnum wanted to go on another dig. So the gentleman who was the head of the museum told him he would have to sell the bones in order for him to go. So he sold the bones to the Carnegie Museum of Natural History in Pittsburgh. So that's where it is today. Now it took, they had one bone that they missed when they shipped it to Pittsburgh, and years later they were able to find the bone when they were inventorying bones and sent it to the Pittsburgh folks, and now it is all back intact and ready to go. But it is still there right now, and it's been just such an interesting thing. The pictures of in my grandparents and parents' albums are the pictures that are in the books, and grandfather had always very, very funny stories to tell about his experience with Barnum. So because of that, I just felt that it was important for people to understand that the original dinosaur, it's called the land is called the type site, and the dinosaur itself is called the whole type because it was the first one ever found in the United States and maybe even in the world. And they had an opportunity then to be able to have that distinction of those two things coming together. So that's part of my growing up history. We used to, the fossil hunters used to come every year. We used to laughingly call them the bone diggers. So when the bone diggers would come, when we were children, they would give us a little bucket and a little shovel and a little paintbrush and send us off to another part of the dig site so that we wouldn't be in their way. But we just, I just had a great time growing up with the bone diggers. We look forward to having them come every single year. It was just wonderful, a wonderful experience.
Wow, that's a very rich and really I've never thought about that before. That was actually going on. I guess it's still going on. But my question for you is, why was it that you decided to document this?
Well, there's lots of things on the internet, and not all of them are authentic. And so I wanted to just tell the story because I felt that it was important to have the documentation of the entire process. And because of the documentation, it just, and I have all of the certificates and backup documents to show that, yes, and true, yes, in fact, it really did come from my, basically my backyard. And so it was fun for me to be able to just clear up a lot of things to let people have an idea of what it entailed and how it went and how what the process was, because that was a 3-year dig. That was really quite extensive, and they had to go through a significant amount of what was called the Big Monument, and those are called buttes in Montana. So the Big Monument Butte, at the base of that, there was a very, very fine sand, and that is where they found the bones and eventually were able to take out the entire skeleton and send it to New York. Because of the length of time that it took and because of all the stories that my grandfather told about Barnum, and because he was a very flamboyant person, he was really, according to my grandfather, he was really quite a hoot. He was named after the P.T. Barnum circuses. And so he really had quite a flair about his being and the way he carried himself and those kinds of things. And people used to laugh at him because he wore this long mink coat. But I promise you, in Montana, I have been out in weather as cold as 70 degrees below, so you have to have something to protect you from the wind.
Absolutely. So can you if you had to identify or describe who you wrote this book for, who would that be?
I wrote it for my mother. She was really into dinosaurs. She just loved dinosaurs. She found a Triceratops frill, which is that big taped with the horn and everything, and she was always instrumental in letting people know and teaching people. She was a teacher, and so in the town where we lived on a ranch just outside of town, but we worked on having a museum of natural history there in the Jordan area, and it still is running today. But because Mom was so good and loved dinosaur bones and just loved to teach, it was really for her that I wrote the book.
So who most would enjoy it, the book? I mean, why should, if you were to tell folks why they should go get this book, who would be the book be for?
It would be for anybody who really wants to have the documentation for the T-Rex. The T-Rex number 973 is what the 973 was the number that they assigned it when it went to the American Museum in New York. When it went to Pittsburgh, it changed numbers, and it is a totally different number, 5908, I want to say, but I'm not just sure. It's in the book with the correct numbering.
And is the dinosaur on display today?
Yes, it's at the Carnegie Museum of Natural History in Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania.
Nice. So I would imagine folks that are into dinosaurs might get a lot of value and a lot of entertainment from this book. Folks with early American history, not too early, but I mean, this is actually a part of American history that this was found here in Montana, right?
Right, exactly.
Yeah. So let me ask you this, Marjorie, where can people get this book?
They can get it on Amazon, and sometimes I have a little challenge getting it pulled up under the T-Rex, the step-by-step guide to this discovery from my backyard. So if they type in the T-Rex number 973, it comes right up, and then you can click on my author name under the title, and it'll go over to my books, and it's showing there.
Okay, great. And we'll make sure that folks have the link to get over there. But if you just head on over to Amazon, T-Rex 973, and click the first T-Rex. I see this is another one of your books related to it. And come down here and then click on Marjorie's biography, and it's one of the books here as well. Right here it is. So that's how to find it. And thank you so much, Marjorie. I really appreciate you taking the time to chat with the folks that listen and or watch the Winning Writers interview series. I want to, if you are into dinosaurs or into history, or you want to know about some of the cool things that went on, you know, turn of the century out in out west, this is a great book and a great read for you. Head on over to Amazon to grab it right now. Once again, thank you so much, Marjorie, for taking the time to chat.
I really appreciate your time, Daniel. Thank you so much for your help.
My pleasure. So one other thing I wanted to ask you about, Marjorie, is I understand that you are a member of realfastvip.com, correct?
Yes, I am.
Can you tell folks a little bit about your experiences with RealFastVIP?
I have been really, really pleased, because all of the things that I have been learning are things that would take a significant amount of study and research to be able to find the information. So I'm really grateful that you do this so that you are able to help your members so that we are able to get basically the fast track to writing and publishing and all the things we need to do and everything that is helpful that we would need to know. Just gives us a nice opportunity to be able to join you, and the lessons each week are always so valuable. I rarely miss. And so
we really appreciate you, by the way, Marjorie. Thank you so much for saying that. I did have another sort of final question here. If somebody was considering joining Real Fast VIP, they didn't know quite whether it was for them or not, but they were considering it, what would you tell them?
I would say absolutely, going as fast as you can.
Real fast, as we say.
Real fast, yes, join real fast.
Okay, Marjorie. Well, thank you so much for taking the time to chat. And for your kind words, I really appreciate that. And I also very much appreciate you being a realfastvip.com member. And I don't take you for granted, so thanks once again.
I appreciate all your help, Daniel. Always enjoy chatting with you. And always
okay,
enjoy coming to the meetings each week.
Thank you so much, Marjorie. All right, I'll catch you later. Bye now.
Okay. Bye now.